Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, tech entrepreneur and angel investor, Jason Calacanis. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, plus a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, to him, Newman's Own ain't just a salad dressing. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Oh, man, we love that about you, going into the holidays, going into our 10th year, making it all possible. Thank you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
We are going to Costa Rica. Grab my car.
Vinny Tortorich is in studio.
Hello.
We'll talk about Vinny in a second. I'm kind of interested in the Baldywood, too. You saw Justice League?
I saw Justice League.
They did something that's...
you can tell by my enthusiasm behind my voice.
They did something that psyched. Made me a little angry. I don't know why.
Showed it in theaters?
I hate billboards that don't really play. They took everyone's sign.
The logos.
They took everyone's logo.
As soon as I saw it, Gary put up You Can't Save the World Alone with all the logos. It's just so thirsty. It's just
something weird about it.
It's desperately desperate.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know
sadly
why.
Desperate. What,
but here's an interesting thing. First off,
definition of trying too hard.
It's kind of weird if you've been on the planet long enough, or you're Mike Dawson or both. There's Led Zeppelin had all their signs for all their band members, right? They all had their own sign. Now, I don't know why. Why did our brains react the same way? It's a superhero.
We've not talked about this before.
We've never discussed this.
I just saw posters.
It's a stupid superhero movie that shows everybody,
and
they all have their signs under them, their logos, their whatever.
The logos are incorporated into You Can't Save the World Alone.
Yeah, right. It seems like somebody was really proud of themselves.
Yeah, some marketing low-level person like, you guys, I got it.
Come in here real quick.
Right. Now, to be honest, it doesn't piss me off as much as the coexist bumper sticker.
Also clever. That's the standard.
I'll take that asshole and this asshole and put them in a sack and throw them in the river. I hate those assholes. But I don't know. I looked at this and I went, I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. It's a comic book movie. But I looked up and I said, I'm angry. Then the second thing I said was, I thought thirsty.
Yeah.
The next thing I thought was, it's not reading, right? Like it's hard to read.
Yeah.
It takes you a bit to read, which it always bothers me when they do that with billboards because people, have 2.5 seconds to look up at them as they're driving past. Yeah. And if they're not able to read it, they can't do it. But I was curious about this movie from Bald Brian.
And so, I assume the boy wants to see it.
You know what's weird? Not so much.
It's just a waste of my time.
He's got basketballs to not make.
He's got
shots to not
damn,
make.
Damn, Brian.
He's a lot more into sports. He's not that into this, though he would. They saw the movie with Julia Roberts with the kid.
Oh, Wonderstruck.
Wonderface.
Although I kind of wanted to punch that kid, too.
Hasn't he suffered enough?
I heard it's a good movie, and they said it's a good movie. I hate it when they have the kid, and he's all deformed, and he's like, it takes a long time to look this good. You know, like they do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's always just like, but... Heard it was good.
Let me set the table. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Jenny.
Well, I was just going to say a fun fact is that book is the story that we read to the kids at the children's hospital.
No.
That's so you cannot be too mean about that movie if you go see it, because that will hurt a lot of children.
I heard it was good.
Let me just set the table real quick. I got an email or text from Gary. So I saw Justice League on Friday as the day it came out, and I got home and I tweeted. All I tweeted was like, "Fucking Justice League, Jesus Christ!" Gary tweets me almost immediately or texts me. He's like, "We getting to Baldywood on this?" And I'm like, I got the USC game. I'm watching Tessa. She's not feeling so well. I'll try and pounce it out by Sunday morning because 10 a.m. show. USC UCLA game goes much later than expected, much closer game. UCLA played well, and it was about 16 point spread, and the game went much later. So I got home late. Tess is teething. She's crying. It is as though she's a newborn and needs to be fed every 2 hours. She's waking up crying, needs to be, Tylenol and, rocked back to sleep. It's rough.
When you have one tooth that hurts, you can't even figure out what's coming from. Your head hurts, your jaw hurts, your back hurts, all of them.
Her gums are swollen, and her onesie's wet from drool because she's teeming like crazy. So I'm up all night every 2 hours. Christy and I are going off and on, putting her back to sleep. And then 6:30 a.m., I'm thinking the only silver lining as I go back to bed at 2:30 in the morning, the only silver lining is maybe she's so tired she'll sleep in a little bit. 6:30 a.m., not crying, the chirp of the smoke detector in her room.
Low battery.
And it had not been going off until that moment, 6:30 a.m., chip. And then she wakes up because it's incredibly loud, and she wakes up and starts crying again. Oh. So,
yep, low battery.
I had to change the battery, the 9-volt battery.
That was a good Baldywood.
That was a good Baldywood. Anyway, Justice League. Do you want me to actually do Baldywood
let's do
now?
It. Right, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm with that.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
Justice League is in theaters now. It is directed by Zack Snyder, director of 300 and, of course, the Superman versus Batman movie and all that stuff. Starring Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa, Ray Fisher, Jeremy Irons is in this, Amy Adams, Diane Lane, J.K. Simmons.
Jesus.
Okay, I know, there's even more famous people who make little appearances here and there that I didn't mention because the cast is pretty deep. So Superman's dead. He died in the last movie. He died at the end of the last movie. And now a new supervillain is trying to assemble some cubes that's going to give him the ability to destroy and or create worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure. and Batman is recruiting other metahumans, other super powered people to help him fight this extraterrestrial being. Here is a clip of... Here's a clip of Bruce Wayne visiting Barry Adams. He is the, did I get that right? Barry Allen. He's the Flash. And he's a young kid. He's sort of like, at 20 or so. He's visiting him. There's going to be a stretch in the middle. It's very visual, but I wanted to show you guys because there are moments in this movie. There are good moments. And at one point, he's going to test him by throwing one of his little Batman boomerangs at him. And the Flash can move super fast, so he's going to move in super slow motion and grab it. But here's the scene. Otherwise, it plays pretty well in the podcast.
I know you have abilities. I just don't know what they are.
My special skills include viola, web design, fluent in sign language.
Gorilla Sign Language?
Silica-based quartz sand fabric. Abrasion-resistant. Heat-resistant.
Yeah, I do competitive ice dancing.
It's what they use on the space shuttle to prevent it from burning up on re-entry.
I do very competitive ice dancing. Whoever you're looking for, it's not.
Super slow-mo.
Right.
But he's moving in normal motion because he's so fast.
Yeah. He threw it at his head. Like, what if it didn't work?
What if he's got the flash?
You always aim for the meaty part of the thigh in case.
As a case.
It doesn't. You're just talking to a 19-year-old dude. Right?
You've committed a homicide.
Right.
Grabbed it.
He's a Batman.
So you're fast.
That feels like an oversimplification.
I'm putting together a team. People with special abilities. You see, I believe enemies are coming.
Stop right there. I'm in.
You are?
Yeah. I need friends.
So that's one of the...
Wait a minute. He calls him the Batman, no problemo. Mm-hmm. But when I say the ways, I'm old man Corolla, doesn't know what he's talking about? Yeah. Or am I trendsetter?
Yeah.
It was always Batman. Now it's the Batman. I was made fun of soundly for saying the ways.
That was a rough day
ways.
For you.
I don't know if you know this, Adam, about these movies. They always have a post-credit sequence. There's always some little bonus clip after the credits. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're looking for a new member of the team. Super Complainer. He complains faster than a... So this was actually one of the better moments of the movie, and I loved everything. I know Gina's making a face.
Yeah,
I loved
one of the better moments.
It's one of the better moments, and I loved everything with Ezra Miller as the Flash. He was great. He was a breath of fresh air. He was young and kind of fun. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's cute.
Oh, good call. I was wondering where I recognized him from. He was good, and I wish there were more moments of levity like this. It's a heavy movie, and it's not fun, and it's 40% of Rotten Tomatoes, and guys, I don't want to come in and talk crap about movies. I don't like talking crap, especially big movies. Like, big movies that suck are just big movies that suck. You know, there's Transformers of the World, and then there's bad movies. I like to come in and talk about, you know, I remember when I came in, I couldn't stop talking about Whiplash or The Big Sick. I wanted to grab people by the lapels. There's a great little movie out there. Go see it.
You're like the cop who goes, look, I don't want to go out and shoot black people. I'd like to return to my family.
Yeah.
But it's got to be done, is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm like.
Right, right.
So... Justice League is Justice League. It's 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's not very good. So there was, I don't know if you guys heard about the controversy was Rotten Tomatoes wasn't releasing the score. Like, they weren't announcing the score until right before the movie came out, which is very unusual. Sometimes there's embargoes, but the embargo had been lifted, you know, and the reviews were out there. They were published, but they weren't releasing the score. My first instinct was someone did someone a favor. I think there's some ownership overlap with Warner Brothers and stuff. It's like, listen, we need to sell advance tickets. That's how we're going to make our money on this. Do something. And they like did this whole thing. Oh, we're announcing a new YouTube show where we're releasing the scores. Like, all right, I think you're trying to keep it under wraps.
Right.
So it's...
Did you buy Ben Affleck at any point in this movie?
Okay. Never once.
Yeah, I didn't
know that. He growled the whole time.
What is that? I mean, it seems
even
a little...
The jokes were just... You know, you saw the jokes were just...
It seems a little put on.
Yeah.
Forced or something.
Exactly.
I one of these days, I'm going to get you to watch the great Christopher Nolan Batman movies, and they are great. And Christian Bale is just so great as Batman.
Yes.
He does the grumbly voicing, but it works. And Ben Affleck just feels like he's like, oh, that worked. I'll try my version of that.
He looks like he's doing a high school play.
Yeah, he's just like a microcosm is that poster. It's all just very put on. It's all just the villain is the most unmemorable thing I've seen. And I can't remember his name. I can't remember the villain's name.
You're not sure if the cube's creator destroyed.
I don't know what they do.
It's funny. I always say you can be anything but confusing. You can be look, every joke doesn't have to land with a huge laugh and all the plot twists and everything, but you can, whatever you're doing, comedy or whatever, you can never be confusing.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing. You can be slow.
Right.
You can be, you can be a little boring. You can be a little, you can be everything negative, but if you're confusing, that's the worst you can be.
We wash our hands of you.
Yeah. I'll piggyback. I agree with you 100%. I'll piggyback and say in terms of movies for me personally, when I think about movies, I think about, you know, a movie, did I like that movie? Did I not like that movie? Like, years later, it's memorable. If it's memorable, it's like, okay, at least it stuck with me. Maybe I didn't like it at the time, but if I've thought about it, this one, I've almost flushed it from my memory 48 hours later.
What do you think about the 40% on Rotten Tomatoes? Would you give it a higher or lower?
I'll give it a little lower.
A little lower.
Honestly, it doesn't feel up to snuff. Sorry, guys. See Thor. That's a much better movie.
for Baltimore.
Ah, thank you. And LifeLock, Equifax breach, man. People are asking, hey, should I freeze my credit? Unfortunately, the step's not going to protect you against every identity fraud threat out there. Hackers, they get social security numbers, birth dates, driver's licenses, and then they commit crimes in your name and even steal from your 401k. It's time to get a little protection. LifeLock. You're doing all your shopping online these days. You're totally exposed. And look, it's great. You don't have to leave your house. You buy yourself a flat screen TV. I bought myself a pair of tennis shoes online last week.
Oh.
Open them up. Tried to put them on this morning. They gave me two right shoes.
Duh.
How does that happen in this day and age?
I don't know. They're sitting in my car right now. Two right. As a matter of fact, I got to bring that up to I'll tell you in a second. I woke up a little tired this morning, so it took me a few minutes to figure it out.
Over?
Right. I was pulling it out of the box. So let's get some protection. Let's get LifeLock. Yeah, look. I didn't get my identity stolen, but I did get two right shoes. But I'll fix that. Yeah. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats, alerts you if yours is being used. Let's not do that. Again, it's almost 2018. Let's get LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Yeah, I then ran into this, which is I got two right shoes, so now I got to take them. I got to send them back, but I don't have the box. I threw away the box.
Oh no! Ooh.
So I have no box.
They're going to make this so easy.
There should be a corner in hell for these assholes. They're the same asshole. The same asshole that I ran into when I was like when I was flying Alaskan Airlines and I had a first class ticket and they gate checked my bag and they didn't tell me where it was and I went down to the thing and now I'm down through the airport. And I'm at the Alaskan, you know, help desk, standing by the baggage carousel, and I go, I think my bag's back up at the thing, and they go, do you have your boarding pass? And I go, no, I don't have my boarding pass. And they're like, you don't have your boarding pass? Like, you know these assholes who do this thing? It's like, well, where's the shoebox? Mm-hmm. I threw it away. Why'd you throw it away? It's like, because I was done with the shoebox. Yes. Like, well, wait, I don't check to make sure both are, I got a right and a left, and then I can dispose of the ceremonial burning of the shoebox.
Because my wall of used shoeboxes had gotten full.
It was, I pulled the goddamn thing out of the shoebox, and then 2 days later, I was trying them on, and I had thrown away the shoebox.
Yep.
Now, I have a shoebox, but not the right shoebox.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Now I got to prove my point, which I got to send these things back to wherever they came from in someone else's shoebox.
Do you know where it came from?
You know,
the actual company?
Hell.
Matt'll figure it
because,
out.
Because a little added value here, folks. If you want to be able to return shoes literally 6 months, if you didn't like them after 6 months, Running Shoe Warehouse is a great company. And also REI. You don't have to have the box, the receipt, anything. They have it all on file.
You literally just drive by and throw the shoe at the window, even if it's
money
closed.
In the car.
Yeah.
It's like that scene from Airplane. One just comes right back at you.
And the money will just end up in your account. Well, you can send, you can ask Matt, Gary, if you can figure it out. And comically, what shoebox? It's got to be one of Lynette's shoeboxes.
I think you're better off just sticking those in a mailing box than putting it in the wrong shoebox. I think they're going to give you more shit for that.
What if I try to buy two left shoes and then I just have a pair.
A backup pair.
Would that work?
Oh, yeah.
Dawson says no.
They'll mess it up somehow. They'll send you two more right shoes.
It's hard to specify.
Well, you tell me. What's a lower percentage play? Sending the two right shoes back in the wrong shoebox or requesting, there's got to be amputees and things like that out there. And how about just people that can't dance? I got two left feet.
That's right. Here's the problem with the whole thing is we're dealing with a company that, first of all, sent you two right shoes.
They can't be trusted.
Yeah. Well, they also
has to strike twice.
It means they got two. That means they got an extra left somewhere. You know what I mean?
The whole production line screwed up. Now they're holding. Why?
Yeah.
Two left shoes.
All right. Let's see. All right. Vinny Tortorich is here. Vinny's our guest is here now. Vinny, you got the coffee?
Yeah, I came in this morning just to drop off because I've put Corolla Digital on a plan. The coffee's just going to magically show up here. Well, so you guys are going to have my coffee all the time, whether you want it or not.
You okay with free coffee?
Yeah. No, I am. But the people get the stuff pretty fast around here. All right. All right.
No, but
the coffee system.
To be fair
to Vinny, he did kind of lace down the whole staff with their own stuff so that it wouldn't be pillaged from the shop.
Okay.
So I think you might be okay.
No taking home of coffee.
Yeah, just put it right in the pot.
Aside from what he gave us to take home today, right?
Yeah, okay.
I'm happy to
give him his taste.
I learned my lesson at the St. Archer's.
We are dealing with a group who, when they dropped off 8 cases of beer dropped it right in the middle of the warehouse, and I came back the next day, and it was all gone, and I was like, well, somebody's on the ball around here because somebody put away those beers.
And
you know what the weird thing was? It's like, I remember thinking, this is weird because people normally don't put anything away or clean anything or straighten anything.
Maybe they finally learned their lesson.
Who got on the ball and took all these beers and put them on a hand truck and put them in the back or whatever it is? And now everyone took a case or two.
Like piranha skeletonizing
without talking of it.
Right. I'm going to take this on myself because I'm having it come in every 2 weeks, so it's always the fresh, just roasted beans. If I get here every other week and the coffee's not here... Then I'll deal with it. Even though I don't work around here, I'll deal with it.
Okay.
I'll handle it. Let me handle it.
Okay, you handle it.
You have it coming to your house, so don't take it home because
I'm good.
You're good either way.
Amazon's where I'm told. What shoebox did I end up with? God, I hope it's a stupid chick shoebox. It had to be. Well, anyway.
Aerosol.
I don't know how we're going to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure out how to get my $20 back from Delta, right?
We're still working on that.
Still working.
No go with Delta and the 70 bucks.
They're all hard line in the sand.
The shoebox says Clark's on it, we believe.
We'll figure it out.
What's a Clark's?
It's got to be some Lynette thing or the kids thing.
Should we do a call to action and create a hashtag for the Delta thing right now? Or?
Well, yeah, let's just do it. I don't. Oh, no. No, I said I wouldn't do that.
But here's the thing. It works when us normies do it. So it will work when you do it as well. It's not just because you're a super, super, superstar. It's because they don't like to be complained at, especially with somebody.
Vinny, I, when me and Mike flew from Nashville, I ordered Coach Plus.
Right.
And you get an extra 3 inches of knee room in for $70. But they didn't, when we came back from Nashville, Mike just was in the general pop behind me, and I was in the Coach Plus. So then when I got back, I said to Matt, didn't we order Mike Coach Plus? And he's like, yeah, we ordered him Coach Plus. Like, he didn't get Coach Plus. And I'm like, all right, tell him just to refund our $70 for Coach Plus. And they said, how about a $50 voucher? And we said, no, we just want the $70 refunded for the thing we didn't get.
Right.
And they said, yeah, we wish we could do that, but we just can't.
But
we're so sorry. We're so sorry you're dissatisfied. There's nothing we can do.
There's nothing we can do about it.
I got to say, you know, and this is why. can please everyone understand, when you are the holder of something, when you already have the money in your account, there is no even scale of justice.
Right.
It is the gift certificate thing. You can have a $1,000 gift certificate. You could go buy $999 worth of khakis and go, can I have $1 back? And they go, sorry, we don't do that. All the policies you get to do when you have the money. It really just speaks to people's shitty nature. Mm-hmm. Their nature isn't good. Like, you give a kid an apple and a knife and you go, cut off, split it, and give the other half to your sister. Well, the person who has the knife and has the apple goes, oh, okay.
Which half's going to be a little bigger?
But the only way you can straighten that one out is the sister gets to pick the
half
after she does it. If you're just cutting it and deciding which piece is going to the sister, it's never going down the middle.
Never.
Delta has $70 of my money, and they understand through their computers that we didn't get a Coach Plus seat, and their thing is like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? There's nothing we can do about it.
It's tough business.
But they didn't even give you the 50. You have to go to Delta again to get the 50. You have to use it in the voucher.
You have to use it. And,
right.
And we've gone back 3 times now, and they're just like, they're standing the ground.
They're standing on $20.
Yep.
Delta.
I don't even know if they know exactly what's going on, because if they knew... they just go, there's the $70. But everything's on a computer, and all the seats are on a computer now, and the everything's so done.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is they'll go up, you know, I don't know, Delta specifically, but if they're trying to get you off a plane to get somebody else on, they're going to start going, okay, who wants $500? Who wants $800? So where is this $20 cheapskateness coming from?
I don't think it's Delta. I think it's the $9 an hour guy that's just reading off of a script.
He's drunk with power.
Yeah. All right. My time.
Well, anyway, we'll try to keep that one going.
Amazing.
So many hours tied up into this. All right. Vinny, purecoffeeclub.com is where you go. Vinny, tell us. Oh, there they are.
You have two different kinds.
Good. Oh, good, good. Yeah, but no decaf, please.
Oh, we don't do decaf.
No, that's athletic, which I'm very curious
that's
about.
That's actually 55% more caffeine in the athletic
plan.
I love that. No, look, more caffeine. That's the way. Everything that's wrong with our society could be summed up with the hotel room when you go up there and they have the little, would you like to make a pot yourself? One regular, one decaf.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will blow into town that night after catching like a 6 a.m. flight out of L.A. and I will take a 40-minute nap at the hotel and I will want a cup of coffee before I go out on stage and I will make the cup of regular coffee. And then the following morning when I'm going to meet Mike August in the lobby with the Coach Plus that he never gets, I look down and the only offering is the decaf. First off, my thing would be all regular, no decaf, because
you decaf by request.
If you, nobody needs decaf. At 5 a.m., after, you know, signing autographs till midnight, coming back to the room, I need coffee at 5 a.m. Right. You don't need decaf, just like you don't need aspirin that doesn't work. You know, like, I need to take round pills that are white. Yep. You don't need it. And decaf coffee just kind of tastes, you know, whatever, like who needs it? But my whole thing is like, maybe you're on a kosher diet. That's up to you. Mm-hmm. That's not up to the hotel. That'll be your, that's your problem. If you like decaf, that's your goddamn problem. I might drink multiple coffees over the course of a day in my room. Mm-hmm. And thus it is not 50-50. And bigger problem. The vegetarian, the person that likes decaf, you know, the vegan or the lactose, whatever, that's their goddamn problem.
Yeah.
Go live with it, douche. I don't need to accommodate you. I don't need to have the veggie lover's pizza when I'm ordering pizza for everybody. There's nothing worse than the sub sandwich that's just the veggie sub. That's not even a sub. It doesn't make sense. I don't need to accommodate you. You have chosen this lifestyle. You've decided to go down this horrible road of decaf coffee and vegetarianism, and that's your goddamn problem. You deal with
it. Live with it.
And near beer. When I was a kid, near beer came out. And every kid went, who wants near beer?
Yeah,
it was literally called near beer.
The weird thing about that is no one likes the taste of that kind of beer. So you're just doing it for...
It's rabbit piss.
That near beer, I would be standing out on the corner on a Friday night, nursing a near beer with one of those cigarettes with the candy, with the powdered sugar, sucking on that, looking at the hot 11-year-old ladies as they stroll by in the night.
Bubblegum cigar.
That's right. Yeah. Taking a hit off my decaf in case I'm starting to lose my energy.
The pipe with the bubbles that come out.
All right. So purecoffeeclub.com. What can people get, Vinny?
Well, we have, I'm offering three right now. The house blend is something everyone across the board is going to like.
Delicious.
It's got great taste. It's what we're drinking in the studio right now. I gave Brian what we call the honey process.
Well, I can't take it home.
Oh,
Vinny.
Hold on. Give me some of that house. I'm just drinking the stuff I brought home house.
They'll get it.
Yeah.
What is the honey process?
The honey process is a single origin. We get this one out of Costa Rica, out of Tirazu region. It's not washed. Most coffee is washed. So a little bit of the pulp of the cherry of the coffee stays on it, and it gives it this unique flavor. Ooh. And very few people, I call it, in-house we call it the douchebag blend, because it's for the high-end douchebag.
How dare you?
As a matter of fact, Dylan was talking about, you know, I like to brew this, and I gave him a packet of it too. The athletic blend, you got drunk the night before. That's what you want. You're getting ready to run a marathon tomorrow morning. That's what you want.
Sonny's doing the, oh my God, the chickens have come home to roost. Uh-oh. I don't even know why that's a threat. Why would that be a threat? Oh, chickens came back to my house.
Yeah, so they
now they're roosting. I don't even know. The worm has turned. Yes, that's.
Wait a second.
I don't even know what direction the worm was going in the first goddamn place.
It's not going the same direction.
The worm has turned and the chickens have come home to roost. Look out. Hold on. Good? Is this a good thing? Where are my chickens?
Is that a celebration?
I'm missing some chickens. Oh, the worm has turned, my friend. What's the worst animal ever to turn? I don't know what direction it's going.
The least,
you know what
significant.
I mean? Like a bobcat, you know what direction a bobcat
turns. It'd be nice
is going.
To know if they're
when
turning.
A worm, no one knows what direction a worm is going.
Yeah, it could go in both directions. Oh, both
you better watch out, Brian.
Is that worm turn?
Coming home to roost. What does that mean? What does that even mean? They're coming home.
I have no idea.
Seems like it'd be a good thing.
Chickens coming home.
It seems like a threat. Worms turning and chickens coming. If someone woke me up and said, "Hey, you better look out. The worm is turning and the chickens are coming home to roost," I'd be like, "Okay, I'm going back to bed. I'm not worried about either one of these scenarios."
I'm guessing it has something to do with them going out and being impregnated and coming back to either lay their eggs or
are the worms with the chickens? And are they coming home as well? Is that why they're turning?
Well, the early bird gets the worm.
Aha! Yeah.
It appears that the origin, the meaning is one's previous actions will eventually have consequences or cause problems. I'm still looking for the origin.
I get it, but I feel like I can't win for losing over here. I never knew that one either. Okay. The chicken has come home to roost because my son is running in a Thanksgiving morning run, like
a
6 a.m. run. One of the assholes I complain about, the guys who work out during Thanksgiving.
He's running in a 5K.
Yes. Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah. He is running in a 5K. He is literally like, and again, my policy with Thanksgiving is, I don't mind if you wake up before the sun and do some hot laps around the high school track.
Don't rub my face in
it. I don't want to do the thing where somebody goes, we're out of ranch beer. That's beer that's made from ranch dressing. And I go, and it's like 5:15. And I go, I'll go to the Trader Joe's. And I see the guy jogging next to me when I'm driving my car.
Outpacing your car.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy.
Shaming.
You go and do a prison style workout where you like grab the pipe that's above you and do chin-ups in a dark room or something. That is your business. Don't take it outside where I can be shamed when I'm going on a ranch beer run.
The ranch run.
That's important too.
So I got Vinny's coffee now.
That's gonna be my next product, pureranchbeer.com.
It's like ranch dressing. You wanna catch a buzz? I think yes.
Yes, please.
Yes. All right. Let's eliminate the two fisted fun of having to dip and having that an IPA in the other hand.
Yeah, eliminate the middle
up a hand.
Next that Corolla drinks.
Yeah. So he's going, Sonny's going on the early morning run. I'm like, well, good luck.
Yeah, he can get himself
good
there,
luck
right?
to you. He sleeps over at one of the winner dad's house who does the 6 a.m. run like every morning, that the winner dad.
Yeah.
And also,
the non-Corolla dad.
Also, the dad's like, the guys that just tell you they're in insurance and they live in huge houses. And you're like, what goes? You kind of want to go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you really doing? Like, how are you making so much money when you're in insurance? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like they make a ton of money, but you have no follow up. There's nothing to ask about insurance. So they take off early. Sonny said he was hobbled last year by his water bottle. He was anchored. He was
weighing him down. Yeah. The albatross around his neck.
His necessity to hydrate had slowed him down.
Sure, sure.
And he had to run with his water bottle while all the other kids were freed up, and that's why he came in fourth or whatever he came in. So this year, he's working. It's great. It's great. You know the great thing about kids? When your adult friends say things like, last year, during the turkey run, I came in fourth, and Nick he beat me. He beat me by like a quarter inch, and that's because I had to carry a water bottle, and he didn't. You'd go, shut the fuck up, you idiot.
You're such a douche.
What the fuck are you even talking about? He beat you by a quarter inch over 5K because you had to carry a fucking water bottle? That's bullshit. I'm sure you came in 10th. Mm-hmm. Stop lying to me. No one believes you. But when your kid does it, you go, there you go. There you go.
Solid
no
logic
bottle
there.
This year.
He could have dropped the water bottle at some point.
Did you mention that to him? This year, he's going to sort it out. That's all I know.
Vinny, talk to him. Have him take one of those salt pills, maybe some pickle juice. He'll be just
fine.
Tell
him to call Uncle Vinny. I'll get him straight for the race.
Get him a shot of coffee. Yeah.
Athletica.
You go in the room and shut the door and tell him to take the needle, and you'll be like in Varsity Blues when
John Voight closes
the door, tell him to take the needle.
You know who the quarterback was?
Yeah, that was Paul Walker.
Paul Walker.
Yeah, man.
That's right, taking the needle.
Don't
go deep.
Varsity Blues.
Don't drag me out into Varsity Blues deep waters.
But I will tell you this. Varsity Blues is one of the movies, I probably have about 10 of them, wherever I tune in, I stay.
Yeah.
I will watch. There's always another good scene, good, bad scene coming up.
There's a few little moments sprinkled in that movie. The little brother is fantastic. The one's into karate and all that stuff. And then at one point, John Voight calls Billy Bob William Robert. William Robert!
Right. Yeah. It's kind of it's a movie that's simultaneously a good and a bad movie. Like,
it
just
is.
Sort of simultaneously. But anyway. All right, let me tell you about Simply Safe. They're having the Black Friday sale. Yep, that is a big holiday bonanza sale, man. Home security. You need to be protected, man. People are getting a lot of gifts. You want to keep an eye on those gifts. You want to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. They're having a massive Black Friday sale. $200 off their special holiday security system. Effortless, delivered right to your door with free shipping and set up in under an hour. Your home is completely protected around the clock, and there's no long-term lock-in contract. So, and no hidden fees. What do? Go to, right now, get the $200 off at simplysafe.com/Adam. Simply, there's two I's in there. S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adam. It's not let another year go by. Peel and stick, batteries last up to 10 years, up and running in under an hour, no drilling, no pulling wires, man. Offer's going to end soon. They're flying off the shelves. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Get the $200 off. All right, our guest is here, Jason Calacanis. He's an angel investor, but one of the first five guys to get into Uber.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's something.
I got some complaints.
Called Uber Taxi at the beginning, and he told him to drop the taxi part and just stick with the Uber. Yeah, like in Social Network, right?
Yep. Yeah, like the Facebook.
Has a lot of thoughts about the Facebook and Russia and lots of insights. And then also, as Lynette announced, she just decided our kids need to be angel investors for a living.
What? With all their capital?
Well,
what?
Wait a minute. Why don't they just become retired millionaires out of high school?
Like, why? The middleman.
Yeah. Why bother with angel investor? But she loves all the tech stuff. One thing I love is this: how fast things change. When my kids were born 11 years ago, I've always been, dubious with college, because it's always been, I've seen all the people, all the debt they build up. And also, frankly, all the guys I know just went to college and they kind of went, I just drank for 5 years and I got this degree in art history and who cares? And I'm still paying off my whatever. And I'm like, I was always a little dubious about it. I was like, I'd rather them find something they like a real passion and really focus on that passion. Yeah. And then they can learn along the way. And Lynette was always like, college. That's what they're going to be. And that's what they're going to do. And like the last 3 years, she's almost completely backed off of college.
Really?
Because I kept saying, what is college going to be in 10 years? What is it? You're going to a brick and mortar place on the other side of the country and staying in a dorm room? Like, what can't you get done on a, what won't you be able to get done on a computer or on whatever chip they put in your eyeball or whatever it is? Like, what is college going to be some years from now? And then
tomorrow
also,
is right for change.
Isn't everything just sort of figure out what you want, specialize, be a specialist in this? And then if you want to get generally educated about any culture or any part of history or anything strikes your fancy, by all means, go online and pursue it. Yeah. Become an expert in it. All right. PureCoffeeClub.com is where you go for the good stuff. Vinny, have yourself a wonderful holiday. And once again, that pad of butter in your coffee. Yeah. No problemo, man. No problemo. Not at all.
As a matter of fact, they handed me this right before I walked in.
This is the hazelnut coffee, mate.
This was in your fridge. I'm told that, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I'm told that Matt.
Yeah, he can't get under a bus.
Yeah.
You can throw him under the overpass, but you can't toss him under the bus. We've tried that. The bus, we injured the many, many passengers. Down the street. Pushed him down, but he didn't go over the top of him, and the passengers were injured. Yeah, this, the idea.
Window of negligence.
That I, the idea that I underwrite, the fact that I purchased this.
Oh, you buy this.
Well, I'm not personally. I mean, it comes out of your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm assuming the stuff here and the stuff at the other shop, the guys go on runs at the other shop where we make the movies. Right. The guy goes to Trader Joe's once a week. He gets the coffee and the cream and the
expenses,
cold cuts or whatever, just some snacks or trail mix or something. And then I'm assuming I pay for it.
Thank you.
So,
for your generosity.
This is basically me. If I'm paying for this, Gary, I'm assuming I'm paying for this. Yes.
Thumbs
okay.
up.
I hate this stuff with a passion because it's sort of it's more than just a couple empty calories. I have some rice, have a beer, whatever. I'm not a calorie nut. To me, this takes coffee, changes its flavor to something else while you gain weight.
And it
bothers me. And the first ingredient, I think, is water. And it sounds insane that you're dumping something with the first ingredient of water into your coffee, but the next one is like oil or whatever it is. It's fine. If people want it, they may have it. My feeling about paying for it, it's like if your daughter ran away at 19 and you found out that she was living in a van with a meth head, you'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, that would suck. Mm-hmm.
But what if the meth head showed up to your house once a week and was like, hey, man, we're almost out of meth. I need some more cash.
Yeah.
And you'd have to peel off $100 and give it to him. Like, thank you. I'm going to go rape your daughter in the van as soon as we get high. I'll be back next week for more. That would make it even. Yeah. What's going on with Matt and the carnation creamer? Exactly
little,
the same.
A little worse.
A little worse. You're right. It's actually a little bit worse.
It's literally, I'm reading this and I'm shocked because if Matt just took his coffee, put cream in it, and added half sugar, like literally an inch of sugar in his coffee, that would be 1,000 times better than what's in here.
You know what? Look, Matt, I got Lynette. Lynette used to be on this crap, and she got off it. She just puts a little cream and a cube of sugar, and it tastes better.
I mean, this is literally a heart attack in a bottle. It's vegetable oil.
Put that on the bottom.
And then it's soybean oil on top of that. And then there's a canola oil, rapeseed oil. And they're all he's just sloshing the stuff in his body all day long. I mean, this is what this is what kills people.
I don't think
people.
He's working it like
straight on the vein.
He has a feeder, like when the rabbit has the water bottle that comes tube coming down.
It doesn't smell. It smells like formaldehyde or something.
Let's make fun of him off the air.
Yeah.
Buttered poison.
All right. Enjoy your morning,
Matt. Getting the drink plan on the cruise, but
he's
going to
hate me now.
Is Matt going to be here when we're done today?
No, he already
is. He's
just walking away forever.
He can't stand me, right? He looks at me with disdain every time I walk in.
No.
Well, to be fair, he's not. You know, we
like
all
the rest
do.
Of us.
All right. That's Vinny. We'll take a break. Oh, a little good sports, and we'll be right back with Jason right after this. Good sports. It's time for a sports segment.
Talking, shooting jerks with blasters, names
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there, working at 110% already in anticipation of another grand sports week that involves Thanksgiving football. How excited are you, Ace?
I'm pumped. And I remember the old days when you'd go see Detroit play every year.
They still
Detroit
do it. It
would always be that afternoon game and the turducken and John Madden with the presentation of the turducken. You know, it's interesting. You say we give 110%. Mm. And this is, I don't know how this math works, but they say, you know, when you go half speed or you give less than 100%, that's when you get hurt, right?
Right, right.
But if you give 110% and you need 100% effort, then if you just give 100%, you could be injured.
You're,
because
you know
that's
right.
Less than 110%, and that's when you get hurt.
That's right, and hence all the injuries
right.
of late. Yeah, perhaps you're onto something there.
I wonder if they accuse, like, when Richard Sherman is coming off the field, hobbling with a blown Achilles. I wonder, like, well, it is kind of on you for only giving 50%, you know?
Well, yeah, Sherman, I think you were given 100%. Where's that extra 10%?
Yeah, you'd still be playing.
What do you think, Ace? Is this now, can we call as we await Thanksgiving football? It really is one of the grandest. Do you do a turkey bowl with the kids or anybody else, or did you ever growing up?
The turkey bowl football game?
Yeah, we did that in Checker Memorial Stadium every year. 3-on-3. Gefsky, Weisberg, and Damashek. Undefeated to this day.
When I grew up, when I was young, yeah, we'd go out and throw the ball around all day and then come in and eat at some point. But the thing I always found, it's an interesting thing. So you tell me. And people weigh in whether this is legal or not.
That's a good start.
We would play, me and Chris Bohm, who were pretty good football players, would take on Ray Oldhoffer and his older brother Rob in 2-on-2 football all day long. Just go down to the high school and we'd play width wise, you know, play the field width wise and like 20, 30 yards wide.
Perfect,
and then,
right.
And it was always the thing was two completions as a first down. Mm. And they would do the move. I think a young Bill Belichick must have been watching along with Tom Brady. They would do the move where it would be 4th and 1. Ray would snap the ball and just turn around. And they just throw him the ball. And there's nothing you could do about it. It was technically a completion for 0 yards. And they would move the chain, so to speak. And
bogus.
My argument was you have to do a route. You have to go up 5 yards and out. And then there's this sort of argument. Now you're getting to the Mississippi argument,
which is
you counted too fast. You didn't say all the Mississippis.
I don't know. This is a deeply, and I'm not, I'm not being silly. This is a deeply important issue, Ace. And I don't know if we're built in this moment to just jump into it willy-nilly and address this. But shouldn't maybe you and me, I feel like, who better to determine the rules for all backyard football that all shall live by?
Interesting.
Because that's a regional debate always, you know? Like, well, no, you just go 5B.
All right.
No. You got to go 8 Mississippi at least.
So let's start from the start. Let's see if we can figure this out.
Okay.
In a 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 backyard setting, I believe someone needs to snap the ball to the quarterback. I don't like it when the guy splits out and the guy just goes, go. You know, I like the ball snapping. It signifies the beginning of the play to me. So
that's football.
That's football, and it takes a little bit of skill to snap it. I'm also going to say,
I mean, it does skew in favor of you.
Yeah.
One of the fine snappers of the last quarter century.
I also think no side saddle snapping, no English. I went Western style, not English style.
Through the legs.
The thing where you stand next to the ball and throw it to the guy, that's what is that?
Yeah, what are you, some damsel riding a pony?
I'm going to sound...
In your long hoop dress?
It's neither fish nor fowl.
Absolutely. I don't even know what it means.
It go between the legs or don't go at all. Okay, so we have that. We also then, if you're going to go between the legs, we have to take it easy on the chuck zone of the guy who's snapping the ball. Because in that case, whoever's guarding that guy can literally just grab onto him or run him into the ground. Or that guy can't get off the line if someone's going to stand directly in front of him.
You're right, and I like the snapping rule there because then you have a Weisenheimer if you're allowed to be the QB and say and hold the ball in front of you and say hike. And when you do that, some Weisenheimer on defense says, "Well, that's a live ball," and hits it as soon as it's as you say hike, and that's a jerk move. Don't be that one.
I've never thought about.
Do you not like having friends? Well, good. Then slap the ball out of people's hands.
About this one before, but I will say, someone must snap the ball, and whoever's guarding that guy must be 2 yards back from that guy. Has to have a chance to stand up and begin his route. You can't just can him. Mm-hmm. You have to be back off him a little. Now, if you're going to split out, a guy can come up and play bump and run because you're on your feet. You can make a football move.
Well, that only makes good sense. Now, the important issue that I have noticed, speaking of regional differences, maybe this is because I hail from the banks of the Three Rivers, and in spite of Lynn Swann and John Stallworth and all their circus catches that wowed my eyeballs as a child, I still, Pittsburgh football is about running the ball. You know, I'm from Big Ten country, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So maybe it's informed by that. But I played football. I played some football games with you, Ace, and your pals. Remember the man show?
Sure.
Remember we did that at least a couple of times.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was, I think, 5-on-5 or 6-on-6. And I was disgusted by it because you guys marginalized me, not intentionally me, but I said, you got to run the ball some. And everything you guys want to do, you and Sal, and I forget who the other.
Probably
Hench, too. You guys just believed, oh, let's just throw the ball every play. Why would you run? It's stupid to run. Like, are we playing football? What are we doing? I mean, what game are we doing here? What are we doing, some carnival sideshow? We're seeing who can throw it the first. Who runs the fastest? Damashek is here. I'm the slowest coordinated person I've ever known in my life. So, of course, if you say go out for a pass every time, well, then there's little I can do out there except throw it to you with the rifle attached to my left shoulder.
But here's the thing. Running in a vacuum of tackling is a little rough. Like, I equate the running game with the tackling game.
Oh, yeah, we did play two-hand touch.
And so the two-hand touch...
Yeah, that's fair.
In the tackle, in the non... The two-hand touch with the running game is, I don't know, feels a little anticlimactic to me. But I will say...
No, because you run a wishbone. You run a little option stuff. That's where it's at, Ace. Don't you want... All you have to do is watch some Oregon football.
Now we have to figure out how we... how we count a first down. Is it by yardage?
Not by the dumb catch thing. You guys were way... I can't stand that because then, of course, it requires you to pass all the time. I have even gone so far as to go 180 degrees and say you must run it at least one play. Keep you honest,
How do we measure the distance...
Well,
we don't have a chain gang.
At Shecker Memorial Stadium, the rule was you had to go because it wasn't a huge backyard, but it was perfect dimensions otherwise. In terms of width, at least, it was great. And it was good and grass, and would get muddy around Thanksgiving time. And the rule was you have to get the first time you reach the end of the – when you reach the end of the field the first time, first down. Next time, touchdown. But if you intercept it or recover a fumble, you only have to go that distance for a touchdown.
Then I would argue that you must have a marker, a beanbag or a pine cone or something that you set 10 yards 8 yards out front, and you drop it, and it's agreed upon beforehand.
Why not do that? This catch thing, now you're talking about judges on the side. Right. Like, well, did he actually run a route there?
Well, the thing about the two catches, if you want to make the rule – and you want to try and enforce a two-catch first down rule, the rule has to be the play must be 3 yards deep. You must go out and do a play. You can't just turn around while the guy rolls out and throws you the ball
I can't believe Ray was bending the rules in his favor.
Right.
That seems impossible. That does not sound like the Ray I know.
Oh, when I used to play in junior high with Ray, Ray would always be like, you guys kick off to start the game, and then you guys kick off after the – first half, and they'd go, Ray, you can't, that's not fair. And he'd go, that's the way we're doing it. And
the breathing game. You want to play that game?
So that was that. All right. So the center has to snap the ball. The defender of the center must be 2-3 yards off him.
Okay, I like that.
We need to establish with a marker, you know, a sock or something, like, here's the first down. You need to pass this. You can pass it. You can run it. You can do what have you. And then the next one is the rush. The Mississippi.
Wow.
Does the person have to start back a certain distance?
Let's pick that up tomorrow, because that's an important issue as well. And, of course, drop us a line here, hashtag good sports. And I think we've just begun something here. I don't think this is a let's etch these into stone today. Let's drop us a line. Let's figure it all out and put these out to make a better future for our progeny. All right, for now, though, Podcast One Sports, good sports out. Good sports.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, Judge Judy, John Harbaugh, and the Sklar brothers.
That was definitely a great moment to tell our parents, hey, we're not going to go to law school. We're just going to go ahead and do a job we could have done out of high school.
Thanks for paying for college.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man. On the topic of original recipes, there's a restaurant near me that serves what they call house nachos, which are kettle chips topped with Parmesan and Cajun horseradish sauce. And they aren't offering this in addition to normal nachos. These are their nachos. So I think this is some sort of fraud, and I may sue. All right. All right, I love you guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Jason Calacanis is back. Good to see you, Jason.
Nice to see you, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Jason was on show episode 33 out of, what, over 2,000 now. Want to talk angel investing. I'm just so much believe in the future of figuring out, you know, instead of, I don't know, maybe the Renaissance thing is gone where everyone just goes and learns everything and then comes home and makes no money.
Right.
Just focus on something, make a bunch of money. And then if you want to go explore the rainforest canopy, now you have the money.
Yeah. This is my ultimate test with millennials. Like when I am interviewing them for jobs, I have a trick question. I say, it's great meeting you. My God, you look perfect for this position. Is there anything you'd rather be doing than this? I'm just curious. And that's the answer you're supposed to give is, no, absolutely. Working for Adam Carolla, sweeping the floors, and building my way up in the podcasting industry is my dream job. That's the only answer you give. You lie if you have to.
Sure.
I literally had a kid say, well, actually, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I want to ride my bike across China and help the migrant workers who are suffering there. And I just thought, wow, you're such a dipshit. Don't you understand that they're taking your jobs? They're coming down from the north to work in factories to become middle class. And the hours in China are 9:96. 9 a.m.
Hey, we're hearing something kick off in here. Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Yeah, 9:96.
9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. That's the culture in China for startups. And what's happened is these millennials, they've all been told that they have this extreme talent and they come in with massive entitlement. And then they have no skill. Right. And then they realize they're not going to have any jobs. And the future is going to get much, much worse.
Well, the book, by the way, Angel, How to Invest in Technology Startups, Timeless Advice from an Angel Investor who turned 100,000 into 100 million.
Hey, now.
Available on Amazon. And go ahead and bookmark us and click to our site. Just helps us on the podcast this week in Startups and Angels. So I think everyone's feeling is sort of, I would love to take $10,000 and turn it into $10 million or $100,000 and turn it into $100 million, but I'm scared because we buy a house and you know the house is $375,000 and it'll be worth $525 in 11 years.
Yeah.
That's what we know. Or for me, I buy old cars and I go, it's going to be worth double in 5 years, but it's not going to be worth 100 times as much. It can't be. On the other hand, I can see it. I can sit in it. Yeah. I know where it is. I think that freaks people out. Like, I mean, you got on to Uber how early?
I was, I'm told I was the third, fourth, or fifth investor, somewhere in that first cohort. And
how much did you put up?
$25,000.
And what do you think that might be worth today?
$180 million.
Is that all?
Now, I did it with I had an LP, what we call a limited partner, so I split the money with them. So I would get like half of that.
It's tell us when you're $180
million. But you know, they're going to probably IPO as well, so we'll see what happens. But to your point, Adam, most people overestimate the downside risk. This is something that Elon Musk told me one time. It's just people really overestimate what failure equals. And so they live their lives being conservative. If they make a little bit of money, they just try to protect it, which is reasonable. We want, that's our DNA, right? We're designed to be conservative. If you
weren't, just survive.
If you weren't, yeah. If you, it's exactly. If you were a non-conservative human being in the times of lions and living out in the Sahara, like, you would get eaten. Being conservative is in our DNA. But now, you probably should put 5, 10, 15% of your assets into something very risky if it has the chance of going 100x or 200x, because that would really change your life. And losing 5% of your net worth, you wouldn't notice because you'd make it back next year in your salary increase or in your money in the stock market. So once I realized that, when Elon told it to me, I was like, oh, that's right, because I missed investing in my friends' companies, which each became worth billions, if not tens of billions of dollars. And that was the big lesson for me. I was at brunch with one of my friends. He's like, take out your phone, dial 40404 and say, join at Jason. I said, okay. He goes, now, like, I'm going to send an SMS. I'm having Eggs Benedict and Biz is having Huevos Rancheros and you're having the tofu scramble. I was like, I don't eat tofu, but okay. And then we get these SMS messages. I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. What is this thing? He's like, it's called Twitter. And I was like, Evan, you're going backwards in your career. You did Blogger. And you just took the blog post. You took the blog post out and you left the headline. If this succeeds, it's going to be a cacophony of idiots. This is going to destroy humanity. It's going to be...
And here we are.
And here we are. It's literally destroying humanity. But that was a $50 million mistake on my point, on my part, because I... And that's when I learned the second lesson of angel investing, which is nobody knows what's going to work. So you just try shit. And you just try to find the most talented, dogged, resilient, extreme individuals to pursue crazy goals, and most fail. But when they do succeed, if 9 out of 10 fail, the 10th returns much more than 10 times your money. And so the reason I wrote the book was I grew up, you know, lower middle class, bordering on poor, and I've made so much money and done so well that I wanted to sort of pass on what I learned, because I believe that upward mobility, the American dream, is completely fucked right now. And people, and that's why we got the election results we got. People can't move up.
Well, I've said it a million times, as I always talk to people on this show, and I do Take a Knee, my motivational podcast, and I talk to so many people that have just gone out there and sort of taken on the world and succeeded. It's a non-subject in the school system, but when you grow up sort of on the wrong side of the tracks with the have-nots, it's taboo.
Yeah.
To talk about money or what you should do with money. I think almost everything is rooted in shame. So I think the fact that my mom was on welfare and food stamps and my dad made $22,000 a year, they didn't want money to come up.
No.
Because what they wanted is, I'm a fat guy. I want to find another fat guy to have lunch with.
Right.
I don't want Vinny Tortorich sitting across the table from me judging what I'm ordering.
Yeah.
I want to just find another fat person. And the reality is, oh no, you more than anyone need a thin person to judge you, because you are over. This is the opposite, but it's a shaming.
Yeah.
And also, they're ignorant of, you know, they've made it to their 40s. They don't know what capital gains are, you know, and they think they're ashamed of it. So they push it off and then they ascribe a bunch of stuff to it. Like, well, you know, who you know, that guy born silver spoon
rigged.
In his
the
mouth,
system's
rigged. There's nothing you can do. And then they get a little angry and they build a little wall around themselves and they go, well, look, that's not us. We're born with a senator's as a dad or something.
Yeah. And poison the well for the next generation.
Right. And now you just sit around these idiots going, well, I guess you just, you know, life's a bitch and then you die, right? You just work all day and try not to get fired and then you just go, you know, put your money in a T-bill get 1%.
How dare you, Adam, suggest that people have control of their own destiny and can move up in the world? These microaggressions will not stand. I mean, you're destroying me with them.
It's weird. I don't get why the schools, and I've now figured out why the schools don't do it, because those, that's an entire campus literally populated with goddamn losers who never tried, who just went, I'm going to go over here, I'll take 50. Guess who doesn't have to work all week this week? Everyone who works at my kid's school. I got to go to work on Monday. I got to go to work on Tuesday. I work up until Thursday, and then it's Thanksgiving. But they're off for the week. They're off for the summer. They're off for the Christmas holiday. They're off.
And pensions.
And everything. But they went, I will take $67,000 a year and guaranteed lifestyle and a bunch of this over here.
Risk.
And I'm not going to go out and stick my neck out over here. So when you then show up on a campus, I mean, what if you just replaced all those people with vegans?
Yeah.
And you said, everyone here's a vegan. Everyone. The principal's a vegan, a little higher order vegan. And the janitor's a vegan. All the teachers are vegans. And then your kids went there. They'd come home and they go, you're eating cheese. No, you understand what dairy does to your innards? Like, how could you do anything else? You should be going to school with guys like you, not guys like them.
Yeah. I'm facing this now. My wife is very much into education, and I'm very much into experience. I hire a lot of people and invest in a lot of people who went to Harvard, and I've been to Harvard like 3 times to speak, but I would never get in there at a 71.3-year average. And my wife and I are now sort of getting a line that the real education we need to give them is grit and the ability to learn new skills. And I the way I invest in people is I look for the skill of acquiring new skills quickly and quick mastery of skills. Because if you master the ability to acquire skill quickly, you know, even if it's just 70 or 80%, that is invaluable in this world. And with our daughters, I have 3 daughters now, I'm just going to put the $200,000 and say, college, or start a business with dad, or be an angel investor, and I'll help you with that. You pick. And I've been having this conversation literally with my 7-year-old, will be 8 next month. And she wants to be an entrepreneur. She comes to my incubator. She meets the companies. I've been working on business plans with her. I'm explaining how marketing works to her. Because I never had exposure to this. To exactly your point. You know, my dad was a bartender. He wound up owning a bar, so I did get a little exposure to it in Brooklyn. And my mom was a nurse. I didn't know any rich people when I grew up.
I got 2 financial speeches from my mom. One is, if I get a job, I'll lose my welfare. So you better rethink that thought.
Right.
Number one. Number two, the other big financial discussion I had with her when I said, just give me a ride to Teddy's house in Van Nuys. It's 4 miles away. Every time you start the car, it costs money.
Ugh.
Every time. It's not just gas. It's the tires. It's the belts. It's the engine. Every time. It's like, okay, can we just kill ourselves now so we don't have to endure this horrible thing called life?
All of these speeches are basically just why try?
Yes. Yes. And again, I think they're all rooted in shame. Money is a unit of success that combines 2 things. It combines effort, calories, you know, like, I mean, yeah, okay, I'm sitting on the sofa drinking a beer and this guy's out working. You know what I mean? I'm a little ashamed, but we're talking about the Thanksgiving jogger. I don't like seeing that guy when my belly's full of stuffing.
It goes both ways.
It makes me think about it. Yeah, right. It's shaming to me. So money is a unit of how hard will you work? Plenty of room for shame in that department. And how smart are you? Plenty of room for shame in that department. And if you're my family and you've not managed to make any of these units of success, then do you really want it rubbed in your face? Do you want to hang around with those people? Do you want to have these discussions with your kids? And if you do have these discussions, how quickly are the kids going to do the math on you?
You didn't.
Right?
Yeah, pretty solid.
So instead, you just feed them this steady poison of it's who you know, it's society, the playing field's not level, it's never going to work out, not for us, it's the haves and the have-nots, we're on the wrong side of the tracks, blah, 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 and you move on.
Right. Yeah. Well,
worst thing ever.
We live in the greatest country in the history of humanity, and capitalism is, along with democracy, the reason. And although capitalism can be frustrating at times when you see all this wealth being created and you say, why am I not worth $10 billion or $50 billion? The truth is, we may have figured out the perfect system, because when people get escape velocity and they become worth tens of billions of dollars, they get a ton of guilt. Oh my God, do I deserve this? What should I do with it? And everybody I know who hits those kind of large, you know, net worths, They just give it away. So if you look at Bill Gates, he's going to cure, you know, many diseases in his lifetime, and he's reducing the number of people living in poverty. If he hadn't been a marauding capitalist, he would never have been able to do that second act. And Bezos will do the same thing. Elon's doing the same thing by going to Mars. And so this idea that capitalism is bad, that's a really dangerous disease that's spreading here in the United States. Capitalism is amazing. It's great. It's a system. It's a meritocracy. Sure, there are times it's unfair. There are people who've been marginalized, of course. There are things that could be better. But if you don't like it here and you want to live in a socialist country, I suggest you go try it. Because you may not like having 50 or 60% of your income taken in taxes, and you might not like the fact that in some of the countries in Europe, if you want to start a company, you're looked at as a shyster. You're looked at as somebody who's trying to rip off the system, and they make you put 10 employees' salaries in escrow, and you have to go to court to fire them. I mean, the rules of entrepreneurship and startups in other countries, it's so much red tape that they don't have any great companies.
Well, a few things. So Russia, Facebook, I know you have a lot of thoughts on that.
Oy.
Also,
I think we just got it.
The taxes and business taxes and Trump saying we're too high over here. It's pushing people offshore. You know, I always feel like, look, businesses look no further than me driving Bryan Cranston to the airport to go film season 5 of Breaking Bad in New Mexico. It's just they'll just go where Bryan Cranston, very liberal, very into paying taxes and very into the have-nots, and I'm driving him to the airport.
Yeah. Could have been Riverside, but no.
It was supposed to, but not. Yeah. We're going there. So, look, it's not about – I wish we wouldn't hang labels like good and bad. Bryan Cranston's not a bad guy. Bryan Cranston's a working actor. The production needs to turn a profit, and they will just go where they can have a greater profit margin. That's all. They're just going to go. They're not bad. They're not being unpatriotic. They're not, oh, what about California? What about your allegiance and alliances? And what about living here? Here's where you live. Again, Winnipeg, Sam Jackson. In a hotel room, Sam Jackson right next to me shooting a movie in Winnipeg. The movie did not take place in Winnipeg. Sam Jackson lives in Beverly Hills. He's the most progressive guy in the world, and he's the first guy who's on a flight to Winnipeg to go drop off some money in another land.
Right.
So let's not do the good and the bad. Let's just do what the incentive is. And you tell me. First, I'm going to tell you. Maybe he was working on Vikings out there. History.
He's sure the one black Viking.
History's critically acclaimed series is back, everybody. They have a 2-hour season premiere. That is Wednesday. Oh, coming up, man. November 29th, 9 o'clock. Season 5 is going to be groundbreaking. I've been watching. It is so unbelievably shot. You want to talk about competition. Man, you can't mail it in, and no more Dukes of Hazzard and Fantasy Island getting a 40 share. No, man, you gotta compete. Season 5, Ivar the Boneless asserts his leadership over the great heathen army, and Ragnar's sons plot their next move, and Bjorn follows his destiny to the Mediterranean Sea. This season, full of startling alliances, unbelievable betrayals, and Vikings, and more Vikings. Plus, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers joins the cast. We love that guy. International superstar, Johnny Rhys-Meyers. Hey, Gary, you got a clock that's screwy on the screen. So, Jason, and a quick question. This guy's been on hold for a million years. Good for Jason. Kyle, 27.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. You got a SpaceX question?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, what did you think about Elon Musk, SpaceX, and the future of space exploration in the United States?
What do you think, Jason? Would that be a good place to invest?
Yeah, if SpaceX was a publicly traded company, I would certainly buy stock in it. Betting against Elon Musk has been a negative expected value for anybody who's done it, especially the shorts on Tesla, shorting it. You know, Elon is a very purpose-driven entrepreneur, and what I look for in entrepreneurs to invest in is people who will wake up the next day, even after a shitty day and having complete failure, and be as enthused and as resilient as the day before. Because most days in a startup are hard, and the days that aren't hard are just arduous and brutal. Like, there was literally no day that's amazing. Maybe the day when you sell your company or take it public, you feel great for a day, and then you're calling all your friends the next day and are like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I sell my company? I'm such an idiot. But I remember when he was starting the company and he showed me Hawthorne when he rented the place out, and he just had one, rocket there. And he's like, yeah, we're going to be doing reusable rockets. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, they're going to land themselves, and then they're going to go back up in the air. And of course, 10 years later, he's doing that over and over and over again. And the criticism he gets from these wacky internet trolls is just phenomenal to me. And even it tips over into the press where they attack Tesla, they attack SpaceX. And it's like, the dude's trying to save the planet and make us multi-planetary. Can we root for him? Like, instead of, you know, fudging the results in the New York Times of how many miles the Tesla could go, they literally fudged the results and they got caught doing that. They had to print a correction. Like, right. There's a whole cult of people who don't want to see him succeed. And that's just the nature of entrepreneurship. But we're
sort of laughing that the meek shall inherit the earth and then the geeks shall inherit the earth. But maybe the geeks are going to save the earth.
For sure.
They're going to get us whatever the power we need, and they're going to clean up the water, and they're going to get us to colonize another planet. Like, it's the minds. I mean, not the guys. They're not the aforementioned Vikings aren't going to save the planet, but the nerds are.
The truth is the problems that we face, food, energy, transportation, education, these are things that entrepreneurs will solve, not governments. Governments are horrible at solving problems.
What?
And in fact, they stand in the way of them. If you just look at like nuclear energy here, we had one or two nuclear accidents, and then we banned the creation of nuclear reactors here in the United States. We haven't had a new one since, I think, 75 or something. And there's all these sites. Nuclear is actually the great viable, much better than coal, much better than burning gas. Yet,
well, Martin Sheen says no nukes.
Exactly, with a no nukes concert, which is pretty great. Bob Dylan wore the like white face skeleton thing, and he sang Tangled Up in Blue. It's like one of his best performances. And I used to have a no nukes T-shirt when I was like in fifth grade. But this was a horrible idea. Like,
of course,
horrible idea.
I don't get why we let people with. It's like click it or ticket. It doesn't mean anything. Everyone's wearing their goddamn seatbelt. It moves no needles. It does nothing. But hey, it rhymes like no nukes. And then it becomes this.
It's a meme.
It gets a movement behind it. It's like, and then Bob Dylan's singing for it and everything like that. And it's like, what are we doing? We're just creating more pollution. We're not making a safer world. What is that? Why can we let the smart? Why do we need folk singers deciding, helping decide policy actors for Christ's sake? Why can't we have scientists working on this?
We're moving in a very dangerous direction in America where people are devaluing science, devaluing the truth, facts, and there's this idea that there is no truth. Well, I get that you could say ultimately there's no truth. What is truth? And like this big philosophical discussion, but there are facts. Facts exist in the world. That is a fact. But we are living in a post-fact era where people just pick a side and then they just argue whatever facts are convenient for them. And it's very dangerous, but the truth is...
It's rooted in...
Yeah.
Okay, here's what's going on. Aha.
Uh-huh.
Here's what's going on. I've discussed this with Dr. Drew for 20 years. Men used to think this way and women think that way. And we decided, and Drew's always told me, women are more evolved. Women are more evolved.
Of course.
We should move toward their way of thinking. It's a more evolved way of thinking. And that's true for many, many things, but not deciding whether we go nuclear or go with another form of power.
Yeah.
That's more of a dude thinking. And the here's how many 19-year-olds we're going to lose when they hit the beach at Normandy. We're going to lose, we got 500,000 guys. We're going to lose 30% of them. That's a guy way of thinking, but you got to do it. You got to slaughter those 19-year-olds because you got to win the war or you got to build the power plant. Because you got to power the next generation, whatever. That's the kind of guy thinking. Well, women have successfully campaigned, and guys have willingly gone over to the woman way of thinking. And now we have guys going, I just feel like there could have been a better way to handle. You know, I feel like. I've gotten to these conversations where I go, like, just because you feel this way doesn't mean there's truth to it. And they go, but you can't deny my feelings.
It's
and
it's my like, truth.
It's my truth. And now that's when things get really murky really fast.
Yeah. I have a feeling we could solve many of these energy problems with just focused discipline on them and a lack of politics and financial incentives. So those are the things that are the most important. If you look at the financial incentives for solar and for electric cars, they actually had a massive impact. People looked at buying a Tesla and said, oh, I get $7,500 back. So I like the incentives. And we're all prone to incentives, right? If you get paid more on one job here or terrestrial radio, you might pick one based on an incentive.
I say all the time, when's the last time you've seen I walk out of the studio. I go down that back street. I see garbage everywhere, mattresses, construction material, busted up toilets, everything dumped out. When's the last time you seen an aluminum can sitting on the ground? Never.
No.
We made them worth a penny.
Yeah.
And now they're all
gone.
I think
they're worth 10 cents now. Even.
Whatever it is, yeah. They ain't on the ground anymore.
No,
there's nothing
no.
worth 10 cents on the ground. Now, yeah. The stuff that's free, that's on the ground. That's called garbage with no incentive.
When they do gun collections and buybacks, you get thousands, tens of thousands of guns off the streets. If you want to collect a bunch of guns and make the world safer, if you believe that gun taking them away makes them safer, theoretically it could, they just buy them back.
Hey, Kyle, you still on there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right. Somewhat satisfied? Jason has
A+. You guys get an A+.
Jason has one of the first Roadsters, the first Roadster.
Well, I have number 16 of the Roadster. And then I have number one of the Model S. Mm. I have a Model X, and Elon just gave me one of the Model 3s. I mean, I bought it, but he got me in early, and I've been driving that, one of the early ones, and it is extraordinary.
We're there. I mean, I was watching one of my car shows, and they were covering the Tokyo car show or whatever it was. And it was like, oh, yeah, Honda's got an all-electric whatever, range 375, whatever. We're there.
300's the number.
We're right there.
The Roadster
was... In the next 2 years, we're there.
Yeah, no, it's there now. With the Tesla, the Roadster that I brought over here to your studio back in the day, had 180-mile range, theoretically. But if you drove it like you drive a sports car, it would probably be more like 120. And there were no supercharging stations. Now... they have over 300 miles, and there are supercharging stations everywhere, and those can top off 100 miles in 15, 20 minutes while you just get a cup of coffee and take a leak. So the idea of that this range anxiety is gone. So then what does the press harp on? Oh, charge anxiety. To get a full charge at a supercharging station takes 40 minutes. We are literally – the press is so negative sometimes that they're just looking to balance the story. So they're like, okay, this can't all be good. We have to find something to say there's a crack in the windshield and it's this obsessive negativity when in fact there is zero downside to Tesla. What? We could live in cities with no smog in our lifetime. Our kids could literally play soccer next to the 405 and you wouldn't have to worry about the smog coming off of it.
I love that scenario except for the soccer part. Mm. Let's play football. Let's play real football. And you know, so you at the top when we were talking, you were talking about, possible downside of investing and people should take more risk and people kind of have that negativity rule their lives, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the electric cars. When they started out, the whole thing was, I'd say, get an electric car and they go, yeah, but what if I want to take the kids and the family to Vegas? I couldn't make it to Vegas. I'd be like, when's the last time you took your kids and family and drove to Vegas?
Not the pool.
11 years ago? I don't know. Well, so you're going to base this decision on this activity that you never participate in? Yeah, but what if? What if?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what if you rent the Denali and take the family to Vegas, which you're not going to do because you've never taken the family to Vegas. But why do you lay this weird, never going to do it scenario and then base this decision on something
the
day-to-day decision on the thing you never do? Why? What's that wiring?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely people's fear and this negativity bias where one way it was explained to me by one of the early angel investors, a guy named Yossi Vardy, was he said, Jason, investing in startups, he has a big, big accent. It's like you have a beautiful Mercedes-Benz, gorgeous 500 SL, leather, beautiful seats, heated. And you have a German Shepherd, and you open the door, and the German Shepherd, he jumps on the driver's side, and he takes a huge shit. Huge, messy, diarrhea shit everywhere. He steps in it, he goes in the back seat, the front. You don't like the Mercedes as much. And I was like, okay, I get it. One little thing can just destroy the entire experience, right? And, if you look at commercial airline flying in modern society, not in China and India and other places where they use Fugazi parts and they take a lot of risk. Here in the United States, we don't have commercial airlines go down anymore. It's very rare. In fact, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, wait a second, what were the last couple crashes? So I did a, Wikipedia, Google search. It turns out the last couple times it was suicidal pilots. We had some German guy who was, suicidal and he locked the door, which was the 9/11 inspired doors to keep people out of the cockpit.
Out.
Yeah.
So now my mind just got blown.
By the way,
we're now at the end of the chess match where they did 9/11. They killed all these people tragically. So then we reacted to it by putting these doors on. And now twice, co-pilots have been locked out when the suicidal pilots decide to crash the plane. So the correction is now causing another activity.
Boy, you want to talk about the dad voice through the door when I was the co-pilot who was taking the piss with my dude maintain?
Yeah.
It would have been the daddiest voice. Dude, I'm being pinned. I got a serving card against my ass. Dude maintain! God damn you! I mean, can you imagine the voice? Hey! Going on? Are you playing grab ass in there? I got a new shirt coming out, by the way. It says "Dude Maintain."
Yes.
Oh man.
Give out some pilots.
You're right. You're right.
Maintain altitude.
Now since the door's impenetrable, we have to worry about the nutball pilot.
Yeah.
I think there was a crazy German guy, and then there was
Egyptian guy who did it, and he may have dropped a couple of Allah Akbars on the way down.
I think he dropped a couple of Allah. Yeah.
Generally, if you hear that, you're going to want to duck. Brace for impact.
Call it a workplace incident.
That's right.
That's fine. We can't judge. We don't want to judge. All right. So I want to know about, I'll tease it.
Tease.
But I want to know about Russia and Facebook and what you know. Forza Motorsports 7, man, on Xbox One, available now exclusively on Xbox One and Windows 10. Two of my cars are in there, by the way. I got my 79 Datsun 280ZX twin turbo. Remember I was telling you the super engine, the twin turbo?
Oh, yeah.
933 horsepower.
Datsun became Nissan, right?
Became Nissan, but right, this is right. Well, that's interesting because it's got my 79 Datsun Z car and it has my 88 Nissan 300ZX. Both cars driven by Paul Newman. Those guys from Forza, they come out, they put the car, and they photograph it 200 million thousand gazillion times from every single part, every angle. They take everything apart. Gorgeous graphics. 4K resolution, 60 frames per second, 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. We love that. Sonoma. Mm. The last two tracks I drove at, Laguna Seca and Sonoma. Long Beach. I think that's the last three. Watkins Glen and legendary Monza and Nürburgring. Anyway, they got a deal, man. They got the digital version for $38.99, and they got a Black Friday sale, and that is November 23rd through the 27th. You get the digital version for $38.99. Check it out, man. Just the best. Better than it needs to be, really, Forza. All right, so Russia, Facebook. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's pretty crazy because we had a very close election. I'm just putting the politics aside. This is the first election we had social media at scale, right? We have a large number of people using it, the majority of people using it, in fact. And when the topic came up with Zuckerberg, who, you know, has been in more lawsuits than any founder, I think, in the history of Silicon Valley, and is under a 20-year audit by the FTC and a $20 million fine for flipping everybody's privacy settings, if you remember that whole brouhaha back in the day. This is a group that really doesn't care about anything other than engagement in growing the product. And this
Facebook.
Is Facebook specifically, much different than Twitter, much different than a lot of other companies. And there, any way they can get you to engage more, they do. And the reason they do that is because time on site equals more advertising dollars, obviously. And so they have spent a decade figuring out what works in terms of making you outraged. And it turns out outrage makes you, come back more often. When you get that dopamine hit of, oh, Hillary's a crook, oh, or Trump said grab him by this thing and that thing, that makes you feel rage, it makes you feel energy, it gives you dopamine release, and you get likes, and you retweet it, and you get into a big flame war. Well, they took that to the logical conclusion, and now we have this entire algorithm, which they say, oh, it's just the algorithm. Well, the algorithm was programmed by them. They know exactly what the algorithm does. And they check every advertisement that comes in to make sure it's a proper advertisement. And then they went on with the Senate hearings and just basically lied. They said you couldn't target individuals. You can very easily target individuals, just groups of 20, but there are individuals in those 20. And they lied and said only 100,000 people saw the ads. And then they upped the number to 120 million people saw the content, and then 150 million. Well, 100, I think it's 130 million people, 57 and 55 or something like that, votes to each person. So there's only 120 million people voting in the United States. So it turns out probably everybody who voted saw those ads. And the ads, which Facebook has not released, they've given them to the government, had things in them about LGBT and Black Lives Matter. Just essentially what Russia did was they just tried to make us fight with each other.
Yeah, chaos.
It's literally like the Joker. Like, some people just want to see the world burn. That's Putin. Mm,
that's a reference to a Christopher Nolan Batman movie that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
But anyway, some people do want to just see the world burn. And that is Putin's main thesis. If I create chaos there, then I look good to the people in my dictatorship.
Right.
And so they can point to it. And they just want to see if they can do it. And Facebook, Zuckerberg, when he heard the news, is like, that's farcical that anybody could think that an election could be swayed. And then what's come out since then? They had media kits like we have for selling our podcasts on the virtues of using Facebook to swing an election. And they had people embedded. Their Facebook employees were embedded in the Trump campaign, the Hillary campaign, and they're going around the world right now trying to tell people in other countries, let us help you spend money to win elections. Yep. Now, listen, people spend money on CBS and, you know, radio to swing elections, but those don't let you say, give this group of ads to African Americans in swing states who came out for Obama so they don't come out for crooked Hillary, which is what they did.
Uh-huh.
And the next couple of shoes that will drop, I believe, and this may come from inside information or just maybe a crazy theory of mine, but what if the Russians hacked the DNC and knew what voters in what specific locations voted which way in previous elections, and then Cambrian Analytica, the company they used to do targeting, was actually targeting individuals with stolen data? Would that be something that you would find concerning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, okay. It's all... Everything just is comes down to information. So people back in the day would go, hey, kid, I'll give you $5 if you just put I got a carpet cleaning business. I'll put on the windshield of all the cars at the supermarket.
Yep.
But what if you knew half those cars, the people lived in apartments and didn't want to use a carpet cleaning service.
Right.
So what if I told you I knew which cars were owners versus renters? Well, that would help my business a lot. And then if I knew which ones didn't have hardwood flooring but had wall-to-wall shag, that would help. And that's all anyone's ever tried to do.
Yeah.
I think with business, you know, when you're trying to sell something...
Hone in.
It's all info.
Demographics have always been part of the advertising mix. But... targeting individuals by race and by voting patterns, this would seem to me to be too much power.
And with data you shouldn't have in the first place.
And you know, the data that Facebook can't be trusted with data.
But could it go any other way is kind of what I'm saying, given as human beings and what we'd like to get accomplished or what some people like to get accomplished, it has to go this direction.
You just read two great ads, Xbox and Vikings.
Right.
Now, if one of those was for crack cocaine, and we asked you to read the crack cocaine commercial,
even better,
you would be like, okay, this crack on the corner here, you go, what the fuck? I'm not going to read this. Get me another advertiser. Just bring me some Blue Apron. I don't want to read a crack commercial. Well, Facebook's approach was, give us any advertising. We'll run it. We don't care.
Right.
And then they said, Zuckerberg literally said, it's farcical to think, it's crazy to think that an election could be swung, right? So he's basically lying through his teeth. This is a smart person. So there's a culture of not over there of just marauding capitalism and let the chips fall where they may. And I think they overplayed their hand now, and they're going to be regulated. And they could be broken up, but they will not be allowed to buy the next Instagram or WhatsApp for sure.
I feel sort of stupid because we've been talking about this for the last 6 months nonstop. And I'm trying to sort of picture, well, what have I seen? Like, well, how does this affect me? Like, I go to eBay and a couple of car auction websites. I just stare at cars all day. But I'm trying to think, did I see an ad? Was there a Russian ad?
Yeah.
Was there a piece of news? What is?
You may not have seen anything because you're in a state that doesn't matter.
Right? Oh,
so it's
interesting.
They knew exactly which state.
You mean oblivious, or are you talking about California?
Denial
or California, both?
In the state of denial.
In California.
It doesn't matter.
It's done. It's
vote. Don't vote. It's going to be blue.
It's blue.
I mean, there's going to be a red dot with those mega churches down in. Those are scary.
In OC or
That's a weird like little red dot in the blue ocean.
But. If I was living in a swing state or a state that could go, if I was in Michigan, what may I have seen?
Well, if you were a white male, you might have seen something about all lives matter, black lives don't just matter. Or you might have seen something like gay marriage, you want your kid taught by a trans teacher, you know, things that might trigger.
right.
A strong response saying, well, Hillary's pro this or that, and go out for her.
Where are these ads? Like, how come I don't see them?
Facebook gave them to the government, and they haven't released them yet. Part of the new proposals will be, and Google's going to do this because they understand how the risks of being regulated, because they just got a $2.4 billion fine in Europe for mishandling information and data.
Concerning Brexit or?
No, the fine they got was because they were putting their services above other people's. So the classic Google trick would be, do a bunch of SEO on your site.
Right.
And then they
would
study
SEO,
search engine optimization. Get a great ranking. And then they were like, oh, what do people search for often? Sports scores, weather, content, answers to questions. Great. Let's just put that on the search result page and screw over all the partners we had over these years, right?
So it's an interesting time we're living in because the technology is outpacing our ability to regulate it.
Yeah.
There's two components. There's a sort of how does it affect us sort of as a society and a government and election and that kind of stuff. And then there's a psychodynamic part. Like, what's it doing to your 9-year-old's head?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. It kind of reminds me of like when they invent a new drug and they invent ecstasy, and ecstasy's legal because there is no law that says there's no ecstasy because ecstasy never existed, you know? So it's legal for a while, and then some people start freaking out or ODing or whatever, and then... But the government is, like, chasing. They're chasing, and these are... You know, we don't allow monopolies. We think of monopoly in terms of airlines or automotive manufacturers, but like Google's turning into a big time monopoly.
For sure.
And we're kind of chasing it because it doesn't feel like a monopoly.
Yeah.
One airline feels like a monopoly. Yeah, sure. Google doesn't feel like a monopoly, but
also,
it's a monopoly.
When you think about the switching costs, you know, if you live in a city serviced by Southwest and United, you can't get American Airlines or Virgin. Well, if you don't like Google, you could switch to Bing, theoretically, or Yahoo, or DuckDuckGo, or whatever. It's just changing what's in the toolbar. But, you know, when you hit a certain level of scale and they have lock-in, and we call it a moat strategy in Silicon Valley. So Android, the entire Android ecosystem is designed to just send more traffic to Google search engine. So if they break even on that process, they will get search traffic. They'll get people to use Gmail. So these are the moats that they put around it.
And also the average person in government and Congress is 61 years old or 72 years old.
They're having their emails printed.
They're on the cutting edge.
They have no idea what this is or what to do about it or how to fix it. And but I do, you know, the part that makes me happy is I feel like, and I've always felt like this sort of thing where it's like, you get Donald Trump or you get Hillary Clinton. Like, really? That's it. Those are our two choices.
Yeah,
I want Elon Musk running everything. I just want a group of the best minds in the world going to do? Like, I feel like that could be the future.
Yeah, I think that's the upside of Trump is now we've set the bar so low that anybody feels emboldened to run, even if you have no experience and no qualifications.
And I also wonder, and I don't know, but in the past, people wouldn't run because they had a couple skeletons in their closet.
Yeah.
Like they've been divorced a couple of times or whatever it is. Like, I don't want to put my family through this muck. You know, I got a couple DUIs when I was in college. I don't want to shame or whatever. I think we're now so inundated. Yeah, I mean,
when the P tape comes out, it's going to be... pretty much the end of,
There's nobody who's not being accused of everything simultaneously.
Right.
You're just going to get lost in this massive shuffle of just...
The rage cycle is now 100x as violent as it used to be.
But explain that.
24 hours. So when...
Oh, okay. So you get put in a tumbling washing machine of pain... But for 24 hours, and then the next guy's going to get thrown in.
We're on to the next
rage. Al Franken, you're out. George Bush, you're in. Or Louis C.K., get in there. Make room. Right.
Or it's just like somebody tweets something inappropriate, like that woman who said, oh, I'm going to South Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. And she was sort of playing this like...
Yeah, I'm white. I won't. Yeah.
I'm white. I don't get AIDS. And she was literally somebody who had done a bunch of volunteer work, was a super conscientious person, but she made a joke and was sarcastic. She didn't put the sarcasm tag on there. So Gawker destroyed her life while she was on the plane.
En route.
En route. And then the Reddit has people waiting at the airport for her to videotape her. In the moment, she finds out her life has been ruined forever and that she is the new face of intolerance and AIDS spreading across the planet. And she's like, what? I just got off a 14-hour flight to South Africa.
Well, the other New World Order is we do not care how much you've volunteered, how much you've paid in taxes, how great a community leader you've been.
And tear them down.
You could have given every single weekend to the Boys Club volunteering.
Yeah.
You could have spent a life. You could have Gandhi's life. You fuck up once.
Yeah.
We get a picture of it.
You're done.
Yeah.
It's done. But it's done for 24 hours, and then we'll be on to the next person.
I guess that's the question. Will any of the people who have been, had their careers destroyed, in most cases, rightfully so, there's some super predators out there who are horrible, will they ever be able to come back? And I was telling somebody, well, Mel Gibson is, back, and he said the most horrible things ever,
Yeah. Well,
but he was also drunk and... But, on the PCH,
But it's also, if we're... PCH is a highway, not a new drug.
Yeah.
That Jason,
yeah, he was very high on PCH.
He was on the PCH. He was drunk. He was on the PCH.
Trust me. I've taken the PCH. And I've taken it, and sometimes I've taken it for hours. It will really hit you deeply.
It'll fuck up
Be
your
careful.
Head.
Fuck with your head.
Do you know where you were?
It's sort of. I kind of think of it this way. It's like, first off, if everyone's in prison, then nobody's in prison. Like, if we're all just guilty, then no one's really. We're all just in prison, or nobody's in prison. And also, I just think about it like, when I was growing up, there was a couple of porn stars. You knew who they were. And you always had that kind of thought, but what are kids going to say one day when they get older or whatever? Well, whatever. Now, I just think 50% of the population is just going to have them having sex on the internet.
Yeah.
And it'll just be part of – there's not going to be – my kids, when they drop their kids off at school – 50% of the moms will have a tape or have them on the internet.
It could become like a rite of passage at some point. It could be like your 21st birthday and you put out your sex tape and everybody comes and watches it.
Yeah, it's porn tape. I'm just saying, then where's the stigma going to be? I mean, look at the Kardashians. Who cares? Now everyone can run for everything. So what if there's a tape of you or there's a whatever? There's everything. All right, let me bring it home with True Car, man. True Car, yeah.
Don't get ripped off.
Do not get ripped off. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new or you're looking to buy used, the first they started, it was just new cars. And Dr. Drew said it should be used, too. And pow. Now it's new. Now it's used. Now it's True Car. You see what other people paid for the exact same car. You get the information we were talking about before. You lock in your price. You use your local certified dealer. You enjoy a quick and easy buying experience, and you have confidence. You don't get a free car. You just don't pay more than you should for the exact same car that other people in your area bought at the same time. And that's all you're looking for out of life. It's just a square deal. So, when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, visit True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right.
You know what the fans should do? Hmm. They should say thank you at True Car on Twitter for supporting Adam Carolla and independent media.
I agree with Jason.
That's good.
That's what I do on my podcast. I'm like, if you appreciate this podcast, please thank the sponsors on Twitter. They love that.
Oh, do That's it. Great. Yeah.
They love getting that fist bump.
It is tomorrow. We're going to be at the Pasadena Ice House, everybody. Mark Garagus and Brad Williams. Where's my counts, Gary?
I've asked for a new one at past. We can still promote it.
Okay. All right. And you go to AdamCarolla.com and check out the pre-cruise Corolla drinks event. Dawson's going to be playing. Chris Loxamana is going to be playing. The Lackeys are going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And that is at Churchill's Pub, Miami, 8 p.m. And then we hit the Corolla cruise after that. Looking forward to that. So do that and check out Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. Lots of specials over there. Her and J.J. are doing a bang-up job. Jason Calacanis, everybody. Angel, Yep. Did I screw us up?
No, just a little more
some
info.
Extra info on Corolla Drinks. We have a new limited run of our brand new Chardonnay and Cabernet, which is called 33.
Oh, hell yeah.
So go get that now and check it out.
Check that out. We got the rosé.
No rosé. Right. I'm rosé all day.
Timeless. By the way, Angel, name of the book.
Buy that book.
Bookmark us and click through. How to Invest in Technology and Startups. You should really get this and read it to your kids. And also the podcast, This Week in Startups and Angel. Vinny Tortorich and Jason Calacanis and Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo. The worm has turned and the chickens have come home to roost. Look out.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Give Ace a thumbs up on the Facebook at Adam Carolla and follow him on Twitter there. See you Tuesday night in Pasadena. A few tickets left for the show at the Ice House. Get yours at adamcarolla.com.